Hi, I'm Bert from The Used. I sing.
Hey, this is Jeff from The Used. I play bass.
And you're listening to Break the Ice podcast. You know it. Someday it's like my mind is fixed on me. I think it's safe to say I'm not the one wanting to be.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Break the Ice podcast. And today's episode, which I have been super excited to release, is with Bert and Jeff of The Used. Now, this interview happened a couple months back when they were on tour with The Fever, and I don't know how to put it. Like, this interview was so huge for me, and I totally was so excited to record, and the interview went great. I'm not saying it didn't, but at the end of the day, I am not an audio person, and for sure had troubles editing. So I called a couple friends, and I now have a permanent solution to editing my podcast. I no longer edit these things. I totally put them together and just send them over, and I'm like, yo, do your magic. And a huge shout out to my friend Will. He does a bunch of other podcasts as well. He has saved me, because sometimes these things, I know they don't sound that great, and he makes them sound 100% better. He did the last two episodes, and I totally appreciate it. And, you know, I'm just so excited that I'm able to finally put this episode out. We talked about The Used's new record, and Bert kind of goes into, we kind of dig into his mind a little bit, and we talk a little bit about my experiences with social media and his opinions on social media. And Jeff, he was just awesome. It was just so good to finally meet them and getting to see them live. If you go on breaktheicepodcast.com, there is photos of the show. I have posted some on my personal Instagram as well, BTI_JuliaQ, if you guys want to follow me on there. And before we jump into the episode, don't forget to follow our socials. Our Facebook is Break the Ice Podcast. Our Instagram is Break the Ice Podcast. Twitter is Podcast BTI. And if you have any requests, anything that you want to know, if you want to be on the podcast and you have a topic that you think we should talk about, feel free to email me on breaktheicepodcast2016@gmail.com. You can also email me to tell me how much I suck, because my self-esteem is pretty low. And I mean, I don't mind hearing it. So anyways, do not forget to subscribe, rate us on iTunes. We are also on SoundCloud. We are also on Stitcher. We just got approved on Google Podcasts. And I'm super excited about that, because now no one has an excuse to say, oh, I can't listen. No, now you can listen. Just how about just tell me you don't want to listen? And I'll respect that. I might be a little hurt, though. So yeah, just listen for me, even though I probably suck. Anyways, we also still have photographs, print photographs available for anyone who wants them. Still doing a portion of the proceeds will go to Kyle from We Came as Romans Fund. So feel free to email me or reach out on my personal or any of the socials for the podcast, and we can set something up for sure. So yeah, let's jump right into the episode.
So how are you today?
We're good.
Good?
Just finished sound check. This is our fourth show of the tour.
Second
headlining show with Fever 333.
And all is well.
All is well.
What's it like to be touring with the Fever?
It's great. Their message is sound. They are tight, solid, passionate, positive dudes.
Nice.
We've been friends with Jason for quite a long time. We love Let Live. We love the direction of this new project. We love the social consciousness. And for the hardcore Used fans out there, we know that we've been kind of trying to preach a message of a world of inequality. We're trying to show people what's been going on for quite a while. So it feels good that people are trying to push the rock up the hill as well.
Right.
And Red Sun
Rising.
Yeah. Great guys as well.
Yes.
Been a good time so far.
Nice. So talk about the record, The Canyon. It's a phenomenal record. It's really hard not to just listen to one song off the record. I heard in a couple interviews that when you guys were recording for this particular album, you guys taped?
All the drums are recorded on tape, which is like kind of the 70s way to do it.
All the
drums are recorded on tape with no click tracks. You know, and a click track, like a metronome, keeps you in time.
Right.
But our producer didn't want to use a click track because he wanted the songs to breathe. He wanted, like, the choruses to speed up a little bit, like, naturally, you know what I mean? The verses kind of, like, lay back and mellow down, you know what I mean? Which makes it really difficult for nowadays recordings because everything's kind of put to a grid and computerized and all made perfect and stuff like that. But this way makes you not play perfect because you can't really put it to a grid. And jamming, actually, when recording the drums, we were all in the room together recording the drums. We were all playing. Britt was singing. So it was kind of like a live recording of drums, pretty much. You know, it was awesome.
Yeah,
and then we went back
to play it live, which
awesome.
Bands don't record like that anymore. Bands don't play it live to record it. So, yeah,
so
all analog. We transferred everything to tape afterwards. So you really have a feel of, like, the feel is not to mimic what they were doing in the 70s, but just
right.
to kind of get back to the basics of
yeah.
what recording rock and roll music is all about.
Keep the vibe, which does exist. Keep the vibe in the music is what we wanted to do.
Awesome. With a new record, and you go back to, like, the first few, the used records, a lot of people have talked about this new record being a little more poppy, but still having those notes from the old used songs, like from The Bird and the Worm, and, you know, from the first record and stuff like that. Did you specifically keep it that way, or were you just trying to do something new?
I think when we were writing this record, it was more about the concept and the feeling, and I was trying to say something very specific about something personal that happened to me. So it literally was not about the type of songs we were writing. We were just jamming whatever we thought felt good and whatever kind of fit into the process made it. And we had so many ideas that when it came time to pre-produce the record, we didn't want to limit ourselves. We thought, let's just make a big double disc.
Right.
This was years of writing too. It wasn't like an overnight write. Like we had like what, three different like
four
meetups,
different
four
yeah
different
four different writing
and
sessions
together with ideas we had to like solidify ideas into like somewhat songs. And from there, we even did a pre-production thing with the producer for like how long was that? Like a month almost.
6 weeks.
6 weeks, like. Getting deep into the songs we had and, like, you know, trying to get them solidified.
Awesome. And I did want to touch a little bit on the message of the record because you can hear it throughout various different songs, especially with the title track starting off with the message. It was very strong for me. It took me a while to get through that first song. Like, I think I skipped it more than I wanted to because I wasn't mentally prepared for that. What was that for you? Was that just talking about it with a
Well, Ross has a process, and before anybody records their part, he gets really psychologically into the depth of the song. So before we would record vocals, I mean, I saw the same thing with bass and drums and guitar. We would have like a friend-to-friend therapy session, psychic therapy. I forget what the term that he uses for it, but and he would just keep the mic on while we were talking. And so that little conversation was the natural process of us recording that song. That's exactly what happened right before I sang it. And I only sang the songs three times, and whatever mistakes were left, that's how it kind of... We wanted it to purposefully feel like a live show.
Right.
But also we wanted to make an example of how art is so important and how mentalities in this epoch, in this time of society right now, are everybody's attention span so fleeting, and what it takes to really kind of take on a meaning from a painting or a photograph or a sculpture or a poem or a song is exactly what you're talking about. It takes a bit of mental preparedness, yeah, and it also takes a willingness to be still and be quiet and be silent and observant. And that, I think that's hard for people nowadays with massive corporations that give us the opportunity to have an expectation for nonstop entertainment.
Right.
It's like I could never not be entertained. Flip, 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 flip,
yeah.
flip. So for us, I mean, I don't know, I can't remember the last time. While we were recording, I was trying to remember the last time I really sat in front of a painting and tried to digest the meaning of a painting. lucky I went to a like a Renaissance art exhibit after that and really spent like the entire day there, and I felt like it kind of mimics what we were trying to do with the record. That's so there's so much, and it's well beyond the puzzles and the intricacies of what we hid inside the record. It is a challenge, and I think that people deserve a challenge, especially with art. I don't think that everybody's positively excited about their lack of attention and their attention span being so limited. I think that we've been trained to do that.
Yeah, and you don't use social media at all.
At all. Well, the Used does, so I wouldn't say that I don't, but personally, in my own personal life, the analogy I use, and these guys have heard it billions of times, but if there was three, like something that I love, like cashews or something that everybody can kind of get into, if there was three people selling those outside my house and I knew the people that were selling them, I knew exactly who they were, what type of people they are, they're billionaires, they're trying to get us, they're not on our team, I promise I wouldn't buy cashews from those people. And not only are we giving ourselves to them, our data, our everything, they know everything about us, probably more than your mom does, but also you're giving your precious time on this planet to them, which
yeah.
I don't think they deserve it.
Right.
They're not doing anything positive.
That goes to show, too, what kind of people they are. Mark Zuckerberg's just helped elect Donald Trump, and anyone else who's on Facebook accidentally helped elect Donald Trump, so for that reason alone,
deactivating Facebook as soon as we get off this.
Well, and I don't know if a lot of people know that Facebook owns Instagram as well.
Yeah, it does.
But not just that. All of those people are the same person. And what they care about is themselves and about power and money. And I think that they've forgotten how to be empathetic.
Right. It's almost a scary thought, though. Like, if you sit there and think about everything, like, the whole... Like, people just want to turn a blind eye and rather not know and feel comfortable in their bubble than to open their eyes and look at what's going on around the world.
Also trained to do that. Yeah, I think that we have maybe 20 songs about that.
Yes.
What's about that too?
I'm really, really split on the idea of giving people the benefit of the doubt, because like we've said, people have been trained to have no attentions, to feel like they're in a bubble, to say things like, I don't care if they're watching my every move. It's like, well,
I don't have anything to hide.
Exactly.
That's not the point.
It's a proven fact that people act differently when they're under observation. That's just a benign point anyways. I want to give people the benefit of the doubt and be like, yo, it's not their fault. But at the same time, we do have access to the truth and information. And there's people
right.
like me, Fever333, Jeff, everybody that knows the truth, that we're actually telling people, like, hey, maybe this is, like, really, really bad for humanity.
Right.
You know, like, 9/10 of the world is on the bottom. Like, not even 9/10. 9,999,999% of the world is on the bottom, and it's just, like, we know all these things. I think it's unacceptable in the world we live in to not, like you're saying, take a scary look around.
Yeah. I learned it in a very odd way. I went to a little sidetrack story, but I went to DC to photograph Sum 41 for Shamrock Fest, and on the way home, I got robbed. Like, this kid
Whoa.
Came up to me and pulled my phone out of my hand, and we were like,
oh, man.
Unsmart me was just like, no one's taking my stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I started pulling a fight, and he pushes me, and he runs off with my phone. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is like the fact that once my phone was taken out of my hand, I really, like, even once I got my phone back, it took me a while to just activate it. Like, I activated it, but I never went back to the way I was, where maybe if I would have put my phone away and was actually looking around, I would have known that my phone was going to be taken out of my hands. Like, maybe if I would have, like, just not be on Instagram all the time, Snapchat or Facebook and stuff like that.
If you observe the world you live in and keep your phone in your pocket for just a second, just in the last 5 days, I've noticed, like, we played a festival on Friday with Ozzy, and some of our really good friends were there, and I'm chatting with a really longtime friend, a good friend,
right.
And we're having a talk, and then this happens right in the middle of us talking. And he's like this, and I'm standing there silent. And he's like,
happens all the time.
And then looks up like he forgot he was standing there talking to me. What kind of human interactions are we involved with?
We're sitting at a table and everyone's on their phone.
There's positives to, I mean, we're not, I mean, I read books on my phone because it's crazy. Like, if there's a book I don't, if there's a word I don't know, I can look it up right away. And,
right.
You know, there's so many benefits to technology. So we're not ogres, but there's also benefits to eradication of ignorance. Like, if everybody knows the truth about Mark Zuckerberg, he won't seem like anyone's friend anymore. We can look at him for who he is, the fucking enemy. He's the enemy. He's Donald Trump. He is the same person. Like, they're just trying to take things from us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. That went deep. So now I don't know how to transition to the other question.
It usually does.
It's
this guy's fault.
The cashews, right?
The cashews.
Yeah. So.
Weed is a better example.
Better.
I'm stealing that for next time.
So, on a lighter note, it's not that light, but Warped Tour's ending this year.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys have heard this like a 20 million. Did you guys ever think you would see it end?
Like, everything ends.
Yeah,
everything,
but did you, like, you guys have been on the tour previous years a bunch of times, and then, you know, everyone was like, yeah, Warped Tour forever. Like, a lot of people who came up in the scene are like, oh, well, if I make it in a band, I want to tour, and, like, I want to be on Warped Tour. And to find out that it's ending this year, it's kind of like,
I have a twist on an old classic motto. It's like, some things happen for good reasons. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, the Warped Tour is so special to us because we grew up on it. We got our first bit of exposure on it. I think it's where we've succeeded.
Yeah.
Like, this is all we wanted was to be on tour.
That's that one show, dude, that we always talk about. That one show is like life changer.
We were playing on the Ernie Ball stage.
2002.
Yeah. 2002. Had to have been. All the power went out on the stage. We were, like, right at the beginning of Taste of Ink. But everybody just kept singing and totally finished the song without any instruments. And we were all just
in the last chorus.
Oh, that's right.
Last chorus, music turns on. It was all perfect.
And we all in that moment were like, wow, this is something that's already out of our hands.
Right.
It's already somebody else's beautiful message or somebody else's beautiful story or just a part of their day. And to be a part of the music world is all we ever asked for as kids. Like, we're just music fans first, to be on the road and to be touring. But the Warped Tour has also evolved over the years, and I think there's been influence from other looks because big tours make so much money and all this and that. But I know that kids, speaking for myself and for a few people out there, kids are sick of being unconsciously taken advantage of. And I think that when marketing and sponsorship become just the main goal, it's really tough. And we saw Warped Tour turning into 18, sometimes 19 shows in a row when bands really aren't even making money from it. This is going on a tangent, but I think that hopefully...
But this is not the first time I hear something like that. I have friends in smaller bands, and one of my friends that did the tour about a year or two ago, he's like, yeah, we went on the tour and we regretted it instantly because we barely made it every day.
It's really hard on a lot of people.
I think that just because there are so many bands in the world now doesn't mean that there is a certain specific program or game you have to play to be able to make it. Because the program or the game is being written by all these guys who have all the money, and they don't care about the bands, and they want to suck more money from more artists. So it's
on Spotify.
It's become how many Instagram follow. What does their social media presence look like? Like, that's more important than their songs. And to me, that's ridiculous. We're going to try to save the summer. We want to try to start a really cool tour that makes nobody any money except for the bands. Like,
right.
How awesome would that be?
That's
especially
awesome.
If you're an up-and-coming band. That's when you need the most help.
Mm-hmm.
That's not like when you should do everything for free just in hopes to get your foot in the door. In what door? Like, music is everybody's world. Amen.
That was awesome.
We love Kevin Lyman, too. It's not about him. I think that the whole thing evolved as naturally confusing. Like, I think that there was influence from other big tour. I mean, what, Coachella makes like $1 billion now? It's like,
it's a week-long tour and okay, it makes so much.
We get it. It's like, but who cares about making billions of dollars? I guess they're trying to convince everyone that everybody should care about making billions of dollars. It's a really bad ploy to get us like consumed and stuck in our own bubble.
Well, with this podcast, I hope people get to thinking. For sure, I think
every little tiny bit helps, and I think that when it's coated and brushed with positivity, we love what we do. We're so lucky to be out here, and we try to feed the world with just a good vibration. Really,
vibration.
Well, I mean, it's just that simple, and not for any karmic retribution, not for any kind of weird. But also, I think all good things go together. I think that sometimes the nice guy, who everybody knows is nice, is going to get a lot more opportunities in life than the guy who, it's like, we know that guy tries to fucking get rich all the time, fuck everybody over, or whatever it is. It's like, and these are such wide generalizations because of the cashews.
Once again, because of the cashews. Cashews are right.
They are.
I'm sure anyone who listens to the record can figure out the message, but some people sometimes take it in different ways. But what would you like somebody that, maybe it's rare that somebody's like, oh, the Used, I've never heard of them, what, and they pick up the record, what do you want them to take out of it?
Well, just like you said, I think that it's, on this record, it's fairly apparent, and that's the, as personal and as broad as I've gotten, I think that that's exactly what I want you to take from it. Everybody knows the backstory that I lost a very close friend almost 2 years ago now, and I wanted to make something that kind of put my feelings and his whole entire life of my experience that I had with him into a record. And as humans, there's about 12 problems we all have in common. One of them is we will all lose people that are close to us, and it's just a reflection on how I dealt with it and how people deal with it. And maybe music has always been the saving grace, you know?
Right.
But I wouldn't want to kind of point to any specific meanings. I think that art is, that's what's special about art. It's artist intention is rarely the most important thing. Unless it's some kind of specific, like, which is rarely the case, unless you're reading nonfiction, like a book about cancer, then you have to know the real story. But yeah, some of my favorite artists, Thomas Pynchon, for example, has never done an interview because he wants people to explore. And I guess like what I want you to feel doesn't really matter after, because it's everybody's art.
Right. Awesome. Well, what song do you guys want to end this with?
Come on, Dave, tell us what song.
What song should we end this with, this podcast, Dave? Dave's our merch guy. He sells the cashews.
What band?
The Used, it's us.
Summertime.
Summertime?
Ella Fitzgerald. cover that
She can play Summertime by Ella Fitzgerald, and then maybe she could play... What song should we play from The Used?
Newest record.
New record song?
I think the newest record is probably one of my all-time favorites right now.
That's awesome. Maybe play... We just put out a video for The Nexus.
Yes.
And I think that beyond the concept of loss in the record, there is also a classic Used message in there. And that's, how do we learn from our mistakes? How do we apologize and mean it? How do we... deal with the world and be the best people we know we are on the inside at all times? How do we be positive in a world that's so full of negativity? That message has always been with us.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Hell yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Right on, no problem.
So that was my conversation with The Used. Thank you so much for listening. This episode was really huge for me. Some of the people that I've looked up to since I was like in middle school, and it was super huge for me to have them on the podcast. And I'm just really excited to put this podcast out there, and I'm so happy that you guys are listening. Do not forget to tell your friends, your dogs, your parents, I don't care who you tell. Tell the random hobo on the street about my podcast. Definitely follow us on all our socials. Check us out on all the podcast platforms. And thank you so much for listening. I will be back next week with another episode. So yeah, here's the song. Bye.
Without a reason or purpose for every enough time as the apathy's my self-control. Price tag believing I could have been bold, I could have been anything. Pick for the sermon in the mouth book of faces. Me let with a quartet, a chisel to sharpen the bones. Back to the migraine, never been told. Black crystal light made you dead. Play the mass for the getters. Feed the fear in the doors. Down the fire, drive the blue vein. The taste of your spirit. Cause the autopsy of inferiority. Could you pardon me, princess? Man, just read my. It's dark in